This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 26, 2014. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, June 26, 2014. It will now come to order. Just to start the meeting, I want to recognize Commissioner Walther for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As most of you know, Brad, who's been my EA for 8 years, is leaving for a new career with a multi-state law firm where he can practice both communication and election law. It's with great sadness for me to see him go. And for those of you that know him, I'm sure you feel the same way and understand why I feel that way. Brad came to the Federal Election Commission 10 years ago, but initially in his career, after graduating from Fordham Law School, he was engaged in preparing course material for bar examinations, and he prepared for the Bar Association, for the New York Bar Examination, and was the primary creator of the course material for the Princeton Multi-State Bar Examination. He's one of those people that really got locked into the bar examination issues. Very, very unusual. In 1996, he joined the Federal Communication Commission. He was involved in rulemaking and policy development for the Mass Media Bureau there. And his interest at the time was centered around the First Amendment issues that they faced at that time, which were significant. At the time he left, he was special assistant to the chief of the Mass Media Bureau there. As some of that work began to shrink, he then went to Hogan and Hartson, now known as Hogan Levels, and again he worked on communication issues there, including some of the First Amendment ones that had arisen and which he enjoyed. After 4 years, he realized his interest in First Amendment issues were not being fulfilled to the degree he wanted for the overall look toward his career, and he joined the FEC, and of course, much to his surprise, he has been immersed in FEC issues ever since to an extent he could not have imagined. When I arrived at the FEC in 2006, Brad is the Assistant General Counsel in Policy and answered to Rosie. I didn't hire an EA right away because I was new to the agency and fairly new to election law, and I wanted to get a better understanding of the agency and how it functioned, which I'm still working on, before I hired an executive assistant. I ultimately decided to hire Mai Din, who was very well known in the Office of General Counsel at that time and well respected, and I was pleased to get her. But then she got a job opportunity of a much higher level, and if that's so, with the Department of Homeland Security, and so she had to take that position. It was one she couldn't really refuse. So I asked Mai who would be the best person to fill your spot, and she said unhesitatingly, Brad Deutsch. So I unhesitatingly hired him 8 years ago, and it's been a great relationship ever since. It really was one of the best moves I ever made, certainly here at the FEC. From the get-go, Brad was at my side teaching me the law, which I needed. The peculiar ways of the agency, which is an ever-present issue, and its rich history. Most memorable to me at the very outset, he was coaching me in preparing for the hearing before the Senate on my nomination. At that time, our nominations were controversial. I was not sure as to what was going to happen. I was fairly new to election law, new to the agency, and as a pretty concerned about being adequately prepared. And he worked me over and he had me prepared. I was ready to go. Turned out it wasn't as necessary. It was a pretty smooth operation. And so that was, in fact, I think Chairman Feinstein was most interested in meeting or in seeing really when he wanted to see my son. He spoke up. Dave's wife, he wanted to meet her because they had 9 children, and he wanted to meet someone who Well, yeah, 10, I guess, children, and just wanted to see her, you know. So that was a light point of the hearing. It was a lot of fun. But for me, there are other factors that were more important, and Brad is a man of great character. He has a heart the size of an elephant, deep emotions on matters involving people. He's a great family man. It's been fun to watch him enjoy his family so much. He's a fierce believer in the mission of the agency and is always thinking about how it could be made better and more effective. He is tenacious in his thinking through problems, very direct in expressing his views, and never afraid, much to my consternation on occasion, to disagree with me. But regardless of whether we might agree in a given case, I know he would always buckle down and work to support my views. Brad doesn't stay in his office, as you know. He was in touch with everyone in the agency as needed. He could roam through the agency and will and pick people's brains. He was always willing to take on new projects that don't necessarily relate to an IT position, such as the number of meetings we held and hearings on the website and IT issues in 2009. More recently, learning about all of the issues possible, including with Tom Anderson, going to seminars and meetings on their own to learn more about how our IT can be improved. Out west, a man is judged more than anything else on the word he keeps. And Brad's word has always been his bond. And I always know I was getting his full point of view on any subject, on any issue, completely unvarnished, as it should be. Most of all, he cares about the agency and especially its staff. He is always thinking about how the staff might be affected by or react to various issues that come before us and how to protect their interests. It's often easy to forget the implications or not to be aware of the staff or how our decisions affect them. And he has been a constant reminder to me of them throughout this entire period. So, Brad, I'll miss your sense of humor, as sarcastic as it can be, your brilliant mind, your loyalty, and your creative thinking, and the agency will as well. So I know that you will move forward successfully in your new career, and your new employer does not know, as I did not know at the outset of our relationship, how lucky they are.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can't say anything as well or as eloquently as Commissioner Walther just said, but perhaps it's because of the proximity of Steve's office to mine. Brad was a frequent visitor to my office to talk with my EAs and with me about many substantive issues and more enjoyably many non-substantive issues. So we could talk about anything about the contours of the political committee definition or about the competing virtues of listening to the Beatles in the original mono, or whether or not we should listen to stereo to get the true experience. He's been a real asset to this commission and has been, I think, a real friend to all of us here at the commission. And I would echo everything that the Commissioner Walther said about Brad and wish him all the best as you open this next chapter in your career and in your life. And I just would also add that it's been a time of transition for several of us. I also recently lost an EA that was a frequent foil with Brad in the conversations that would happen in my office. Kevin Plummer had been an EA for 5.5 years. And because of the timing of his departure and our meeting schedule, I didn't have an opportunity to acknowledge his departure while he was still here. He has left to become senior manager for government ethics and compliance at the Chrysler Corporation, and just started there recently. And Kevin, along with John Barrowman, who can't be here today, was one of the twin towers that I had in my office, both 6667. And I often would say that if we could resolve our commission deadlocks by means of 3-on-3 basketball games, I felt very confident in the ability of my office to prevail. But unfortunately, I can never get consensus
no
on that
deal.
Point.
No deal.
But he was a terrific mind, a very smart individual, and a great friend, and one that whose efforts on my behalf and on behalf of the commission will be greatly missed and were greatly appreciated. And I guess it's just a sign of the times that we've been here for a little while now, Steve, that that some of our most trusted and valued staff have found new opportunities to continue to grow and to continue to develop. I just wanted to acknowledge his efforts and thank him for everything that he did while I was here. So two real, not only great minds, but really stand-up individuals and great men will be leaving this agency, have left and will be leaving this agency.
Brad, wish you well. I'm sure we'll see you around the corner. The first item on today's agenda is correction and approval of the minutes for June 12, 2014. Madam Vice Chair.
I move to adopt agenda document number 14-32, minutes for the open session held on June 12, 2014.
Any comments or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes by a vote of 6-0. The next item on the agenda is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the Democratic Party of Illinois, A11-15, and I understand that our Audit Department is going to have a presentation. I also understand that we have a late submitted document.
We do, and the motion, I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of, withdraw that.
Okay, no late submitted document on the audit?
No, not on the audit.
Okay, so I turn it over. Who's speaking for Audit Division today?
Thank you. Before you use the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the Democratic Party of Illinois, which recommends that you approve the four findings that were presented in the draft final audit report. Finding one, the misstatement of financial activity. The audit staff recommends that the commission find that the committee misstated its receipts and disbursements for calendar year 2010. Finding two, record keeping for employees. The audit staff recommends that the commission find that the committee failed to maintain monthly logs as required to document the percentage of time each employee spent on federal election activity, totaling $729,125. It should be noted that this amount does not contain contract labor. The contract labor of $21,850 that was mentioned in the ADRM was paid with 100% federal funds. Finding three, the record keeping for fundraising receipts. The audit staff recommends that the commission find that the committee did not maintain sufficient records to support the contributions totaling $68,300 may be deposited into its federal account under the notification requirements of 11 CFR 1025. This finding was the subject of the audit hearing that was held on April 23, 2014. Finding four, unreported Levin Fund activity. The audit staff recommends that the commission find that the committee did not report Levin funds totaling $115,274 on its Levin schedules and incorrectly disclosed the shared federal election activity expenditure in the amount of $144,375 as a shared operating expenditure. Those were the four findings. We are happy to answer any questions that you may have regarding those.
Any questions or comments for our audit team? Let me just state, as you noted, we've previously debated with state and local parties the issue of siloed employees and whether or not employees who are purported to have worked on state campaign activity, and presumptively so by virtue of the way they were paid by state parties, that it is not the federal government's right to step in and regulate state campaign activity by imposing federal regulatory requirements and record-keeping requirements. And so I don't need to rehash all that. I just want to, for the record, state that I'll be taking the same position with respect to that issue in this audit of the Illinois Democratic Party. With respect to finding number three, I can't find a record-keeping requirement in the statute or the regulation for 4 years hence having to be able to affirmatively prove as a state party that that I gave an individual donor notice, whether it was verbal or otherwise, nor do I see that the notice to the donor must be in writing. I think quite often it is done verbally, sometimes from the requester, sometimes from the donor who walks up and hands the check at an event. And so I cannot support a finding of a violation of law for a record-keeping violation or shift the burden to the state party, the Democratic Party of Illinois, to have to 4 years hence prove that they made that representation at the time. So I won't be able to support finding three today either for that reason. Are there any other questions or comments of commissioners regarding this audit report? Okay. Hearing none, Madam Vice Chair.
We have several motions, but the first motion in A11-15, Democratic Party of Illinois, I move approval of the recommendations for finding one, misstatement of financial activity, and finding four, unreported Levin Fund activity as set forth in agenda document number 14-31.
Madam Secretary, you have the substance of the motion. Are there any comments or questions regarding the pending motion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Vice Chair.
In A11-15, Democratic Party of Illinois, I move approval of the recommendation for finding two, record-keeping for employees as set forth in agenda document number 14-31, including the failure to keep monthly time logs for the $729,125 in payroll consisting of payments allocated between federal and non-federal funds and 100% non-federal payments.
Any questions or comments regarding the pending motion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
No.
No. The motion fails by a vote of 3-3 with Commissioners Weintraub, Walther, and Ravel voting yay, and Commissioners Hunter, Peterson, and Goodman voting no. Madam Vice Chair.
In A11-15, Democratic Party of Illinois, I move approval of the recommendation for finding two, record-keeping for employees set forth in agenda document 14-31 related to the failure to keep monthly time logs for the $414,078 in payroll allocated between federal and non-federal funds. And I further move that the audit division be directed to include in the proposed final audit report an additional issues section addressing the $315,047 for 100% non-federal payments.
Any questions or comments regarding the pending motion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any noes or abstentions? The motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Vice Chair.
Yes, and this goes to your issue, Mr. Chair. In A11-15, Democratic Party of Illinois, in finding three fundraising receipts, I move that the Commission find that Democratic Party of Illinois did not verify, affirm, represent, or otherwise establish that the contributions totaling $68,300 may be deposited into a federal account.
Any questions or comments regarding the pending motion? I just have one closing comment that political parties, especially at the state and local level, are heavily burdened by regulation. And they have repeatedly lamented that burdensome record-keeping requirements imposed by the Federal Election Commission are inhibitive of their activities. I do not think it's appropriate or proper or lawful for the federal government now to be imposing additional burdensome reporting and record-keeping requirements that are not expressly detailed in the code or the federal regulations. I believe we need to give state and local parties some relief in this area, and I believe this motion goes in the wrong direction. I think we heard that at the forum we held. Any other questions or comments?
Let me just respond briefly with regard to that matter. I agree with you that there is no provision relating to specific requirement of record keeping, nor in this respect, nor is there any evidence. I mean, and further, with regard to our party forum, I think you're right that unusual, burdensome requirements to the state and local parties is something that we need to address. However, what this motion goes solely to any way of indicating that this money was appropriate. It does not require a record. It only requires either, as I said, a verification, an affirmation, or any kind of representation or other way to establish that the contributions could be deposited in the federal account. And I think that that is a basic auditing purview of this commission.
My only concern is that what this motion does is it effectively shifts to the Democratic Party of Illinois a burden to prove their innocence 4 years hence, after having gone through millions of dollars over 4 years to go back and pluck out $68,000 and say, now prove to us that you gave the proper notifications at the time these solicitations and checks were exchanged. And I believe that's an improper shift of burden. I believe it's the Federal Election Commission's burden to establish that they were not properly notified, the donors were not properly notified. That's why I can't support the motion.
Well, and I appreciate that. And without, you know, extending this too long, I think that that's essentially what the burden of an audit is. And that's one of the functions of the commission.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just add to what the Vice Chair said, that the commission doesn't have documents about what happened, what individual parties are doing. The commission will never be able to prove what a party committee did or didn't do based on our knowledge. We have to go to the party committee and see what kind of records they have. So I don't see it as a burden shifting. It's just that it's, if you say that we have to come up with our own evidence that of what the party did or didn't do, you're basically saying the requirements don't have to be never have to be established at all. So I am going to, you know, we have the commission has grappled with these kinds of issues before, and we've tried to be flexible in saying, well, you know, is there someone who could say I was there and I know what the procedures were and I know how we handled this? And really, in this case, they weren't able to come up with anything at all. You know, I think, As the vice chair said, that's what auditors do, is they look for records. And if there are no records, then there is really no way of knowing.
And if there's no way of knowing, it's improper for us to make a finding of a violation, especially where there was no affirmative requirement in our code or our regs to preserve records of this notification. We do have, in other sections, we have affirmative record-keeping requirements, such as on contributions. You have to keep a copy of the check. You have to keep that for 3 years. Where we have insisted on record-keeping so that we can review them later in an audit, we have expressly prescribed that in our regulations. Here, we didn't do it, and so it's improper to find a violation in the absence of information 4 years hence, where often these notifications are done implicitly or verbally at events four years ago. So, yes, Commissioner Weintraub.
The only thing that I would say in response to that, Mr. Chairman, is that this finding doesn't say that they violated anything. We took out the reference to the regulation, which was in an earlier version of the motion, in order to try and accommodate your concern. All we're saying is, as a matter of fact, they were not able to, they did not, I assume it's because they were not able to, verify, affirm, or even represent. We got nothing on this. So that's, we'll have to agree to disagree on this, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments or questions? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
No. Motion fails by a vote of 3-3 with Commissioners Weintraub, Walther, and Ravel voting in favor, Commissioners Hunter, Peterson, and Goodman voting no. Okay. The next item on our agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2014-04. I want to invite Mr. Barron to come forward.
Excuse me. What about Finding 4?
Finding 4.
Sorry.
She's asked about Finding 4. It was contained in the first motion.
Okay. Okay, so we're moving to the third item on the agenda today, Draft Advisory Opinion 2014-4, Enterprise Holdings Incorporated, represented by Mr. Barron. And I understand we do have a late submitted document on this one, Madam Vice Chair.
Yes, thank you. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of, I don't know what the agenda document number is.
Here you go.
14-30E. Agenda document number 14-30E, Draft Advisory Opinion AO 2014-04, Enterprise Holdings, Inc.
And I believe that's B, not E.
Oh.
But it was written on the
line.
It's
written on the line. I'm sorry, it is B.
14-30B, Madam Secretary. Thank you. First, I want to welcome Mr. Barron back. Thank you.
Nice to be back.
Working hard to get you customer service. And I want to congratulate Vanderbilt on beating the University of Virginia last night in the College World Series.
Well, my condolences to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I know that Mr. Calvert, who's sitting behind you, is a fan of the Tennessee Volunteers. I know he wants to also congratulate Vanderbilt on something, as painful as that may be. Esther Jory.
Thank you, Chairman Goodman, and good morning, Commissioners. In addition to agenda documents 14-30 and 14-30A, which were held over from the June 12th open session, you have before you new agenda document 14-30B, which is alternative draft C, in response to an advisory opinion request from Enterprise Holdings. The requester asks whether the Act and Commission regulations preempt New York state law insofar as state law purports to prohibit the use of payroll deductions for employees to make voluntary contributions to the SSF. The Commission received one comment on the request from the New York State Department of Labor, stating that the Department of Labor does not interpret state law to apply to the activity described in the request. Draft C does not reach the preemption question in reliance on the representation by the New York State Department of Labor that state law does not apply to the activity that is the subject of the request. We received one comment on the prior drafts, and if the Commission votes to approve any of the drafts, we ask for authority to make any necessary technical and conforming changes. Thank you, and I would be happy to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Jory. Are there any questions of Ms. Jory? Any questions of Mr. Barron? Mr. Barron, I just have one question. Does this draft get your client where they need to go?
My client would appreciate receiving this opinion, yes.
Any other questions or comments regarding this matter? Hearing none. Madam Vice Chair?
With respect to advisory opinion request 2014-4, Enterprise Holdings, Inc., I move that the Commission approve draft C agenda document number 14-30B and authorize the Office of General Counsel to make any necessary technical and conforming edits.
Any questions or comments regarding the pending motion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. The motion passes by a vote of 6-0.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate Thank you, Mr. Barron.
You brought the FEC together, Mr. Barron. Congratulations.
Anything more I can do on that?
Get back here.
Are there any other matters, Commissioners? Okay, Mr. Palmer, are there any management or administrative matters which the Commission must address today?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.